So I just want to continue on. I'm just going to piggyback on some of the things that she shared. And when she talked about the soils, so this morning, we're going to do a little bit of heart plowing this morning. So we're going to talk about the conditions of our heart a little bit more. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll go back to this scripture. Jesus has told the parable of the sower, about the sower who went out and sowed the word, and it fell on different types of soil. And Jesus is so amazing that he goes back and he says, well, let me tell you what this all meant. And Julie read this last week, but I want to go ahead and to kick off here from this scripture, and starting in verse 18. It says, so listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the one that is sown on the path. The one that is sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root, and it is short-lived. And when distress, persecution comes because of the word, it falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. I love Jesus. He's such a good teacher. That's good. Pastor loves Jesus. That's important. If you go to a church where the pastor loves Jesus, change churches. Yeah, who doesn't love Jesus? Let me just say something about this morning, something that you don't know as you were getting ready to come to church this morning. Like, all kind of opposition has hit, like, every bit of technology. All the tech team says amen. Amen. So I just want you to know. And then we had a problem with a guitar up here. And I actually forgot to send my message to the tech team this week. And so it was just, and Robert, our tech guy, is not here this morning. So it was fantastic. So how many of you know you're in the right place this morning? When the enemy has opposition and you're in a place where the enemy has opposition, you're in the right place this morning. So when the pastor says something crazy about not loving Jesus, then whatever. So let's just take a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We invite you to speak to us clearly. And we bind every spirit that would try to bring opposition in Jesus' mighty name. We take authority over that in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you, God, that your word will go forth mightily in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen.
Amen.
So amen. All right. So this is great. Jesus is an amazing, amazing teacher. He gives this amazing parable, and man, it's just, when you read this parable, and then Jesus gives the explanation, how many of you just go, okay, ouch, right? All right, that hits me right here in real life, right? Jesus is so good at speaking and teaching and exposing places in our heart. Isn't that true? But now what? Right? We can just sit back and we can go, ow, that hurts. Or we can do something. Or we can change some things, and that's what we want to do. So my message today is entitled "Heart Plowing." So we're going to do some heart plowing this morning, and so now what, right? So when we talk about these soils, we talk about the hard ground or the people that don't understand. The shallow ground is there's no root, so when trouble comes, it withers away. Right? So exposing. And they won among the thorns, when the worries of this age, right? Like, do you feel that? Like, when we talk about the worries of this age, when I talk to Christians and I talk to people that I run into, and we talk about, I was having lunch actually with actually with Dana. We were having lunch the other day, and just the cares and the worries when you look at our world and as darkness starts to encroach into our world, the worries of that, we feel that, don't we? Don't we? We feel that, like, what is going on? And these worries, and then the cares, and the cultural issues, and all the distractions of social media, and the craziness of social media, and then Jesus says the deceitfulness of wealth, that this idea that wealth conquers all, and that wealth is my answer to every one of my problems, right? Right? So it's so distracting and so unnerving. But then he talks about the good soil. And so I want you to know that God has made provision, has given you a gardener. God has given you a gardener. Remember that these things are not just all these different types of soil. Jesus is specific. He says it's the condition of our hearts, right? Jesus actually says, where your heart, where your treasure is, there's your heart, right? So what comes out, he said, guard your heart. The psalmist says, guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of your heart flows all the issues of life, all of the issues. To understand that the condition of your heart displays what you do, how you act, how you live in our world, the condition of your heart, right? So if your heart is full of something, if your heart is shallow, your heart rocky, or your heart has weeds growing in it, it's going to come out in our lives. So Jesus is like, listen, your heart is important, right? But God has given us a really good gardener. And that gardener is what I want to talk about this morning. It's the presence and person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gardener God ever gave as a gift to the planet. The gardener, watch this, when the first soil talks about no understanding, the Holy Spirit can give you understanding. The Holy Spirit can give you that understanding. The Holy Spirit can actually come in and create depth in your soil and pull away all the rocks out of your soil and bring depth to your soil, of your heart. And when all of the cares of the world and the distractions of this life, right, when all they come in, the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit can give you perspective on what's going on. Let me tell you, the Christian needs perspective in these hours. We need the presence and the voice of the Holy Spirit in this time. And because he will give you perspective. The idea that Jesus says, he says, I don't leave you alone. He says, where I'm going, you can't go. He told the disciples, but if I go, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. I should have preached this last Sunday because last Sunday was Pentecost. So we're a little bit 1 week behind. But the idea is Jesus says, I'm going to send you a Comforter, send you a helper, the one that comes alongside and helps you, that's with you. He says he's with you, but he will be in you. In you. Not just around you. Not just, you know, like some kind of essence. No, it's the person of the Holy Spirit that has come and lives inside of you. Jesus said it so much so that it's better that I go away. Because it's better that the Holy Spirit lives in you than just God. It's crazy, right? The power and presence of the Holy Spirit is something that we think about every few, but it's something that the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is something that we are supposed to enjoy and benefit from daily. The voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because listen, when we choose not to, we just are choosing to do it on your own. I got good news for you. You don't have to do this on your own. Jesus said, I didn't leave you alone. But many times we try to operate in our own strength. We step out and we try to, we kind of say, Holy Spirit, I kind of know you're really there, but I kind of got this today. This relationship issues, I kind of got this. I read some books on relationships. I kind of know what to do, right? Like, you know what? I know the love languages, God. I read the book. And I know. I'm supposed to give gifts to my wife. Blah, 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 blah. Right? I know all the things. I've read the books on Enneagrams, and I know what I am. And those are all great. But when we just choose the wisdom of men or the knowledge of our own understanding, we had titled, I don't even know if we're still in our series. I don't even know what we're doing right now. But the Supernatural series, listen, there is more. I want to encourage you this morning that there is more. There's more than just your own ability. There's more than just your own knowledge and your own understanding. Many times our understanding is incorrect. Maybe it's for those other people. Many times our understanding, listen, it's real important. It's real understanding. It's real important to understand these days of the deception that's in our world today. It's really important to understand that God has a definition of right and wrong. God has a definition of holiness. God has a definition of the way things should be. And it's really important that we are not deceived and pulled in by the world, right? It's really understand that we have perspective. It's really important that as a married couple, that we just don't, everything that we think, we don't just say. Rick and Linda Willoughby, right? They can tell you amen, right? So it's really important that we just don't go by our own understanding, our own thinking. Do you know that the enemy will lie to you about relationships? You know what? I came into the kitchen and my husband, not my husband didn't really talk to me. And he kind of patted me on the back. Nothing. Didn't even bring me coffee this morning. My wife just didn't even, she's kind of cold. And the enemy will lie to you and make up things in your mind. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Right? Careful, the Holy Spirit might just ask you to show love first in your marriages. But we operate out of this self-reliance. And we're telling God, I don't need you. I got this. Right? So the power of the Holy Spirit is a gift. And we don't have time to read this lengthy portion of scripture, but I want to challenge you, maybe just jot this scripture down. In Ezekiel chapter 47, there's an amazing word picture about the presence of God and the presence of God flowing out of the temple as water. It says, as the water flowed out of the, as Ezekiel saw a vision, and he saw the temple and a stream coming out of the temple, which represented the presence of God, right? The power of the Holy Spirit, the presence. And they said as the water and the closer actually to the temple, it was shallow, but then it just got deeper and deeper and deeper. Can I tell you something this morning? There's deeper. There's deeper. You're like, well, I walk pretty deep. No. Have you tapped the resources of an almighty, incredible, creative God? There's more. Look at your neighbor and say, there's more. There's more. It's deep, right? We used to sing it as a kid. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Remember that one? And you always get them signs mixed up. Deep and wide. It was confusing. It was me. I was so uncoordinated when I was a kid, right? And still today. Easy, Tyra. I'll do that myself. Thank you very much. But as the river flowed, the deeper that it got. And the Bible says this about the stream. He says, everywhere it went, it brought life. Everywhere that river went, it brought life. And there were streams and the fish and the trees that were up beside it and the animals that would come and drink from the river. It's just everywhere it went, it produced life. And I've had the privilege, I remember this place down in Mexico that I went years and years ago on a mission trip. We were having one of our free days that we're going to have when we go to Honduras. So sorry, some of you are missing that. But when we went, there's this hot spring. It was amazing. It was so beautiful. There's a hot spring came right out of the ground. And the place where we usually went was like desert. It was really bad desert. But there was a spring that came up, which produced tons of water out of the spring. We watched it just come out of the ground. It was amazing. And then it would go into this, it would merge into this other river. What was amazing is you could actually literally stand where those two came together, and like one of your legs would be really hot, and then the other one would be freezing cold. It was the coolest thing. But where that warm water came up out of the ground, like if you picture Eden, the big elephant ear, whatever those things are, just coming over the top, all these beautiful flowers in the middle of a desert because of this water that came up out of the ground and nourished everything around. There were animals that came all from everywhere just to drink out of this place. But it was because of the water brings life. And God is saying, listen, there's a river. The psalm says, whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river that God says he has given to us to bring life to us. If you're dry and if you're feeling stress and anxiety, the answer is not just another medication. But if you're on medication, just take your medication. Praise God. But let me tell you, the answer and the solution is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It is. It is. And so, and then, this is where it gets convicting, because you can have as little or as much as you want. Jesus repeats it in John chapter 7. He said, on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. And Jesus said this about the Spirit who believed in Jesus were going to receive this. Excuse me. He said this about the Spirit. He's clear. This water that he's talking about is the Spirit of God. Those who believe in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Spirit brings life. He brings life. He brings the Holy Spirit himself brings life to dead places. Listen, how do I say this? Like sometimes like the pastor gets the pastor's always got it all together. He just walks around the glory cloud every 24/7. God speaks to him like all the time. He goes to a restaurant and he asks, and the Holy Spirit just tells him what to eat. Whatever he does, the Holy Spirit just tells, no, that's my family. No, that's not true. But I do know, you don't have to shake your head that much, Wes. See? It's exposing. But it's always because of the lack of the Holy Spirit's presence and influence in my life. It's always. My wife used to say, she didn't do it as much anymore. She didn't have to. We've been married long enough that we don't talk anymore. She just gives me that look. looks amazing. But I know, like she used to say, David, you just need to go pray. You just need to go seek the Lord. And you know what? She's right. Like, understand, like, there is a presence of the Holy Spirit that can so live in you that it affects every other part of you. And only, listen to me carefully, only the Holy Spirit can change a heart. Only the Holy Spirit. You can have all the self-help stuff. You can do all the other stuff you want. Only the power of the Holy Spirit himself can change your heart. It's the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can bring life to dead. He's the one that can weed out all of the stuff, right? He can filter out all of the information that we're getting we're being blasted at on a daily basis. Only the Holy Spirit can give us perspective on those things. Only the Holy Spirit can remind us when we're in those heated, that no, maybe it wasn't that my wife was angry, or maybe she's not mad at me. Maybe she just needs some coffee this morning. Maybe she didn't get a good night's sleep, and her brain's not even functioning yet this morning. I've just gone to meddling, haven't I? But notice that the devil will lie to you about these things. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. I didn't say that. That was somebody else. She said, for you watching and listening, can't hear back. She said, basically, don't use your lack of coffee for being rude. Like some, and I'll just, let me just tag onto that a little bit, because that's so important. but listen, like the idea, listen, that, oh, you know what? I'm just bold. No, you're rude. You can be bold and kind. But, but remember, Jesus was kind and he kicked a bunch of people out of a temple one time. So I'm just saying. But the Holy Spirit helps you, right? Amen. Unrehearsed. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, let's go. And then the Bible says, well, how do I get more of the Holy Spirit? Well, how do I do this? Again, I'm so glad you guys asked all the right questions. Ephesians chapter 5, let's go there. In verse 15, he says, pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Stop right there. Or if we're not convinced that we're living in some evil times, we need to start looking. And so what does the Bible say? That there's a temptation in the evil days that you not walk wise. You not walk with wisdom. You not walk with understanding. Right? And so what he says is, so then he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, I want to know what the will of the Lord is. What's the will? I want to know what God's will is. Then he tells you. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Stop right there. He correlates this idea. I know this may be a foreign concept to some of you who have never been drunk before. Or have never drank before. But you are controlled when you drink. I hear the giggles, by the way. It's all good. We're good? Amen? Amen. He says reckless living. Amen. He says reckless living, right? When he talks about being drunk, that's another subject. But it says, when you are under the influence of alcohol, it controls you. It does something to you. He says, in the same way, be controlled and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The same way some person can, that alcohol can take them into a reckless lifestyle, he says, I want you to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that it takes you somewhere else. That it makes you act a completely different way. Maybe even actually, like over here, it makes you do things that you never thought you'd ever do. And over here, when you follow the Holy Spirit, it makes you do things you never thought you'd ever do. Amen. reckless living, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that there's a place where God is so consuming? And this is where God wants you to be, guys. He wants you to be so filled with his Spirit. He wants you to be so filled, like a sponge, filled with the Holy Spirit. So when the stuff of this world squeezed you, the nature and character of God comes out of you. This is the supernatural life. We are living, listen, many of us, we live in this area of the natural. And it's comfortable. We need to step out of the boat and do some water walking and walk in some uncomfortable areas. He says we are called to be supernatural beings. And then he says this. So, yeah, great. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Then he tells us how to do it. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, there is a place. Listen, believer. There is a place that you can tap into where you can fellowship with the Holy Spirit all day long. All day long. This isn't just, let me just say, I don't think that this scripture is just talking about that you're just someone who just sings songs all the time. What was that song Eric sang? Yes, do those things. But it's this attitude of connection with the Lord during the day. That's why Paul says that you can pray without stopping. What does that mean? Man, I don't know about you, but like you're running out of things to say. I believe that he's talking about this communion that we walk with God. That we think that if anyone likes wisdom, let him ask of God. And that God will give them wisdom, but let him ask in faith, right? So we think that those are like the big deals. Should I sell my house? I mean, I'd sell my house right now. It's really, really good. Maybe in a year from now, it's going to be really, really bad. But we think of like the big decisions. But what about the everyday? Like, not even vocalized questions. But Lord, how should I respond to this person who's having a bad day? Lord, how should I respond to this situation or that situation? I got so much. Maybe you're an employer and you got so much stuff going on. And you can't look at it all, because if you look at it all, you'll go crazy. Holy Spirit, will you help me to process the thing that needs to be done right now? The Holy Spirit wants to help you. God, what? Okay, so my kid's kind of acting crazy today. God, what is my responsibility in this moment? And he'll give you wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It doesn't have to be just the big things. It's the little things in the daily walk that you can walk with God. You can walk. You can get to a place where you are walking in tune with the Holy Spirit. And let me just say, it's where God wants us to be. Because sometimes in those moments, the Holy Spirit can reveal lies that are being spoken to you. Sometimes in those moments, he can come in and say, hey, don't believe those lies. I was in a situation, I had a friend of mine, they were at a wedding, and be careful who you talk to when you go to weddings, because there's a lot of people who hasn't been around you in a long time. And I just walked right up to this person, and they were just kind of sharing some stuff. And man, you ever just, you kind of open up a little bit, and you share your heart maybe with somebody. And all of a sudden, boom, they just like shoot you down. Like, oh, you'll never do that because. And it was what's crazy is I know this person. That's a place of pain for them. So the enemy used somebody to speak those things in that moment right? That tweaked them, and it required the Holy Spirit to come in and bring truth back to them. But if you don't, you just kind of walk around in lies. You walk around and you meditate on those things. Well, maybe not. Maybe that is a stupid idea. Maybe it is. Maybe I don't have what it takes to. But the Holy Spirit wants to come in and encourage you, build you up, comfort you. It's the supernatural life. But sometimes, like, there's some times where you just need to, if you're driving down the road, you just need to, you know, shut off your oldies, put some worship music on, and just worship God. Maybe there's some times where you need to shut off everybody else. Go into your room, like Jesus says. Lock, close the door and pray to your Father that's in secret. We're going to talk about the secret place a little bit more next week. We're going to be very practical next week. One more scripture about the soil of your heart. Hosea chapter 10. You're like, wow, you're doing Old Testament scriptures. I am. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, sow righteousness for yourself and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Until he comes and sends righteousness on you like rain. We need, sometimes there's these places in our hearts, listen, where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and break up that ground. To break up that ground because maybe it's been hard. Maybe it's been compacted. Maybe whatever's going on with that soil. Sometimes we need to give time for the Holy Spirit to come and replow that ground that's been in us. And then he says this in Hosea chapter 10. Let me just say, so careful as we read Old Testament prophetic words. Let me just say, because this word is a word for the nation of Israel of that day, right? So yes, we can totally allow that to come and be part of us today, but be careful that we just don't say, because it was a nation of Israel, then it's a nation today. Sometimes that's true. But understand that what he's writing is, so this message is for you. You, right? You sow for yourself righteousness. What does that mean? Actually, that word there is righteousness. It has to do with right living. Sow for yourself right living. And then it goes on in verse 13. He said, for you have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted, watch this, in your own way. You've chosen your own way, your wisdom, your thinking, your way of doing things, my thoughts and my opinions and my this. He said, you've eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in your large number of soldiers. Listen, guys, listen, it's been too long that we relied on our own wisdom. We need to be people that have freshly plowed and tilled soil and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to verse 12 a second. Sometimes these words don't really translate. So in the King James, I think it's the King James, it says, sow righteous for yourselves and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground. Many translations say fallow ground. I woke up the day I did this message with that word fallow ground. Like, yeah, of course, that's a word that we all use every day. Like, think of fallow ground, right? We use that so often in everyday life and go, Mike, how's your fallow ground at your house doing? You know, we use that all the time, right? Even this, like your unplowed ground. Okay. That kind of, okay. I'm going to understand. Are you excited about what this? I'm excited about telling you what this word is. This word for that fallow ground is this. Are you ready? It's unplowed ground. Is land, what's this? Are you ready? Land broken up in a past for a past season, but not plowed this season for maximum yield. Let me read that again. It's land that has been broken up for a past season, but not plowed for this season. Some of us have plowed for last season, but you haven't plowed for this season. And you wondered why whenever you came out of COVID, we came out of this whole thing, and all of a sudden you're feeling the weight of everything. It's time to replow, because the plowing in the ground of the past is not going to work for the plowing that we need to do today. The preparation for the ground is not the preparation from the ground of the past. Let me tell you something from maybe a prophetic word, is something shifted in the atmosphere when we had COVID. We're not the same. It's not the same. The people of God, listen to me, are not the same. We're not the same. And for many reasons, there's been many disappointments. We see much stuff that we don't like. What do we do? It's time to plow. It's time to plow. It's time to plow new ground. New rows, because we can't take the seeds and plant them back in those old places. The people of God need to seek the Lord. He says it in verse 12. Break up your unplowed ground. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. To get wisdom from heaven. To get wisdom to do what? Because of the soils. Because the enemy wants to pack down the soils. And so when it's packed down, you have lack of understanding. So when the seeds come, the birds come and snatch it. Because now, right now, if we're shallow in our soil, when all this weirdness starts taking place, you will be uprooted with the rest of it. And you'll spring up for a minute. But then Tuesday comes and you're ready to give up the faith. Or you're ready to deconstruct everything that you've ever learned about the things of God and destruct it and deconstruct it. And now you don't even know if you believe in God. Because of the lies. Listen, because you have eaten the fruit of lies. It just amazes me. It's just sad. It doesn't make me angry. It makes me sad. Because we need to be people that are connected like never before. That's why Paul warns us. He says, don't forsake the gathering together as believers. But then the promise. He says, it's time to seek the Lord. Listen, what we did before is not working. I'm going to replow up the ground. It's almost like I'm starting all over again. I'm going to replow up the ground. And I'm going to start planting again. Because I'm seeking the Lord. And I'm giving him first place. I'm giving him my everything. I recommit my life to him. This is not the time. This is not the way I thought this message was going to go. But this is not the time for casual Christianity. It's time for the people of God to sink their roots deep in him. In him. And we do that by inviting more and more the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because listen, when you do, there is a river. There is a river. There is a river. Yep, I see all this stuff going on. I see all this stuff going on around me. I see all of it going around me. I can't fix everything, God. I can't fix it all. I can't fix it. But God, whoever you bring me in front of me, I could do that. I could do that. God, whoever you bring me in my, I can't change the political system of our nation. I can help the person that God puts in front of me. Maybe Jesus was right when he lived in a place that was controlled by the Roman government. Hear me. You think it's bad now? Live in the Roman government, right? You think you don't have a voice now. You didn't have a voice at all. And then become a Christian. Then you really didn't have a voice. But Jesus' answer was, you know what Jesus' answer was? Still the same as it is today. Go into all the world and make disciples. And make disciples of all nations. You're like, they won't hear me. Have you tried? Have you spoke one-on-one with anybody? Because people are more open than you think. And plus, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in you. And when God tells you to speak, because you spent time in the secret place and because you've been a person that has fellowship with the Lord all this time, you're going to know what to say or what not to say in that moment. Man, you're like, man, that's slow growth. That was Jesus' plan. Literally Jesus' plan. Make disciples. Make disciples. Because that's really the harvest, isn't it? Do we relegate the harvest? Let me just say, you do not understand the download I'm getting right now. Like, do you know what, you know what the harvest is? The yield is? You know what the, when he says that, that so you'll have an abundant harvest? So that you'll have tenfold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You think that you've relegated that to your own personal peace in your own life? Jesus says it's disciples. He says it's replication. He says it's influence. He says it's you going and you being Jesus to wherever you go. And we've relegated it to, well, my own personal peace. Maybe God will give me a boat. Maybe I'll be successful on my job. The goodness of God says, I'll do all of that for you. Wait a minute, I just said the boat. Praise the Lord. So like the Lord just told me I'm getting a new boat. Praise Jesus. But listen, that was a joke. That was a joke. Unless it's not a joke, Holy Spirit, then I'm having a personal crisis right here in front of everybody. Oh, glory to God. But maybe it's more, or maybe it's both. Because God does give you exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask for. I don't know about you. I just want to be effective. I just want to be a person, all joking aside. I just want God to use me. Whatever way he deems fit. Because I do believe there's rewards here, but I do believe that there is an eternal reward for what we do. And there is an eternal perspective that maybe we need. And like I said, this didn't land like I thought it was going to land. But listen. And the answer is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Eric, you guys can come back up. Let's all stand together. You've been sitting a minute. I don't even know why I'm looking at my notes anymore. So far off my notes. I left my notes like 20 minutes ago. Come on, close your eyes. Come on. Speak, Holy Spirit. Come on, right where you're at. Just invite the Holy Spirit. Come on. Just you and him. Just invite him in. not distracted with everything that's going on. God, I admit there's things that are really disturbing that I see. God, sometimes I'm tempted to allow those things to affect how I think and what I think. God, sometimes it just makes me so angry. So God, I need your Holy Spirit to come. Give me perspective. Give me help. God, sometimes I'm at a place where, man, I get really excited on Sunday, and then like by Tuesday, the things that come against my mind and my thoughts, and I mean, sometimes people are tease me, or sometimes I feel less than because I'm a follower of you. I feel persecuted at times, and I just want to quit. Sometimes, God, I just don't understand. God, I don't understand God, sometimes the seeds of your word just hit the ground and plop right off. Holy Spirit, I invite you, my helper. God, I know you have plans and purposes for us. God, I want to be fruitful in every way. I want to be fruitful first to my family. God, I want to be fruitful in my faith community. God, I want to be fruitful outside of my faith community. Holy Spirit, we need you. The word I get is some of us. I literally, when I read that definition of that word about how the soil, it's the past plowing that doesn't do it. It's the plowing now. There's some of you in this room that you would say, you know what? I used to be passionate for God. I used to be fervent in my prayer life. But if you'd be honest, you would say there's been so many disappointments. Or you've seen life has had a way of compacting that sand down, or that dirt down. And you go, you know, there was a day that I used to really seek after God, and God's presence was really in me. And God would give me words for people, and I had the gifts that flowed out of me. And things were really happening. But if I was honest with myself, I'd say I kind of let that die out. And if I was honest, I would say I'm really trying to live my life from a plowed dirt from a long time ago. You know what's interesting about that is you don't plow up and put new dirt down. You plow up the dirt that's already there. So I would hear the Lord say to you, is the dirt still there? You just need to plow it. And you do that by inviting the Holy Spirit back into your life in a profound way. So as we sing this song, no place. Let this be your prayer as we sing the same chorus over and over. Let it be the cry of your heart. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. was your job? Okay.